This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
We're joined by our ESPN front office insider, also a part of our New York game day on Sunday mornings with Anita Marks and Matthias Kiwanuka. He is Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, Larry Hardesty, and Ty Butler, how are you?
Good afternoon, guys. Happy and healthy New Year.
Same to you. Mike, let me get your thoughts here. Down in Miami, as a front office, as a GM, how do these discussions go right now? You've got Tua in the situation with concussions, his third one of the season. What's the discussions like, not only this year, but in the future?
Yeah, guys, it's obviously a very serious and complicated situation. You know, first of all, you defer to your experts and your doctors, and, you know, he's been ruled out for this week, and you'll see what happens next week. But he's had three. I think because of that, it's not likely you exercise the fifth-year option because that comes with a substantial guarantee of money. And I think what happens is you go into next year, you see how he does, and you probably bring somebody else in to compete with him, and maybe, ironically, someone like a Mike White or Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think it's hard-pressed that you go into the year just with, Tua as your quarterback, just given the uncertainty of his medical situation.
Mike, when we look at what could be a fun quarterback carousel this coming offseason, we know that the Jets could very well be involved in that, assuming Mike White isn't coming back to be this team's franchise starter. Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, are any of these names you think realistic as far as, you know, coming in and being the Jet quarterback next year?
Yeah, Ty, that's a good group of names, and I think absolutely. I think if you're from a Jet perspective, you got to look at as many of those possibilities as you can, and just, you know, I don't think there's any way you could go back into next year and say, hey, Zach Wilson's our guy, so maybe Zach Wilson comes back and competes. But if I'm them, I'm start by trying to, you know, re-sign Mike White.
Mike, as a GM, when you have a situation where the quarterback you took has really struggled the way Zach Wilson has, where's the line that you cut bait and say, you know what, we just have to move on now? There's no sense in carrying on. We made a mistake. Let's move on and try to get out of it. Do you invite him back to challenge for the quarterback spot next season, or do you just say, you know what, it was a bad pick?
You know, he's the second pick overall. You know, ideally, you give him at least one more year. And really, like the word, guys, it's progress. Like, you know, he's not going to be perfect. No prospect is, but you look for progress. And that really starts in March with the offseason, and his attention to detail is going to be important, and his approach with his teammates is going to be important. And I would simply say, hey, the best player is going to play.
Mike, Daniel Jones this year, to me, has answered every bell. Health concerns, he started all 15 games. Turnovers, he's only got 8 of them this year. Do you think he's the starting quarterback for the Giants next season?
Yeah, unquestionably. I don't know who in the world they're going to get that's better than him. He's young. He's improved in the areas, Ty, that, you know, everyone's identified. And I don't think he's perfect, but, boy, there's a lot to like about him. So, absolutely. If I'm the Giants, I'm trying to get a long-term deal done with him.
Now, Mike, another player that had some questions going into this season was Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's played well, had some dips in there, you know, got banged up a little bit. You saw his production drop a little bit, but he's picked it up again. What do you look at the running back position? And we know how running backs are looked at by some front office folks in the National Football League. What do you do with him next season?
Oh, I mean, that's also really easy. He's an explosive difference maker, guys. When you build a team, you look for a point scorer, a high-character guy. I think he's dynamic with the ball in his hands, both, you know, rushing and receiving. I think that's easy. You keep him. Now, look, you're going to try to do what you can and try to minimize the guaranteed money if you can. But first thing I'm doing in the offseason is I'm figuring out a way to keep both Daniel and Saquon. I think they're just too valuable to the future of the team.
So the Jets need to win out and then have New England lose one of two games against either Miami or Buffalo. Do you think they get into the playoffs this year, Mike?
You know, the one variable to me in all this that I think is really interesting is what happens with the Buffalo Bills. And here's what I mean by that. If the Buffalo Bills are locked in for week 18 in terms of where their seeding is, I think New England goes up and beats Buffalo. I don't see New England beating Buffalo if Josh Allen has to start and win that game. So I think a lot of the Jets' playoff possibilities really come down to that Patriot-Bills game next week up in Buffalo, and we're not going to know who's playing until next week, and I think that could actually go a long way in determining, you know, who else makes it from the AFC East.
Yeah, that is an interesting scenario. It's a similar scenario, Mike, to what the Giants kind of have. If somehow, and you heard what I had to say earlier, I just don't see how they lose to the Colts. But if they happen to, now they have a situation where they go against Philly, and I would think, personally, I wouldn't see Jalen Hurts on the field in Week 18.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Assuming that Philly, their seeds lock in, and assuming it's the one seed, there's no way I'm playing Jalen Hurts. What are you trying to – you want to shut him down for a couple of weeks, let him get, you know, that shoulder as healthy as possible. They got to win three meaningful games to become champs, and I'd be shocked to see him play that in the last game as well.
So this week, it's interesting. We only have one game on the slate that features two teams that are both above 500, and that's Monday Night Football with the Bills and the Bengals. How do you see that game playing out? Because there's a lot of one-seed implications. I guess technically the Chiefs, Bills, and Bengals are still alive for that number one seed.
Yeah, I like Cincinnati. I really like the way their defense is playing. And, Trey Anderson's out there with a bad wrist, but he's playing. Hubbard has the calf. He's close to getting back. But I was disappointed by the Bills' run defense against Miami 2 weeks ago. And I think right now, I think Cincinnati has just been a little bit more of a more complete team. Should be a great game, though.
Mike, I'm gonna ask you about a game that's got it's got top of the division implications, but the two teams have struggled. It's Tampa and it's Carolina. And for me, what have you seen from Tom Brady this year? Is it enough that you would consider, would you think is he coming back next season, or is it something where you would say, you know what, maybe he needs to think about saying this is it?
Yeah, I don't think he's played as well as he has in the past. You know, I don't think he's off by much, but he's clearly not the same. And I think if he does come back, his offensive line needs to be dramatically better, be it injuries, defections, retirements. At one point, they've had five different starters from, the same position a year ago. And when you're his age and lack of ability, you need a great offensive line. They haven't had that. So I don't know if it's over, but boy, the margin for error is a lot smaller now without a better offensive line.
Vikings-Packers on Sunday. Green Bay still alive for the playoffs. They need to win out and have the Commanders lose one of their final two games. Meanwhile, the Vikings still alive for the number one seed. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I really like Green Bay. I think they're peaking at the right time. Christian Watson's an injury to monitor. He hasn't practiced much. He hurt his hip against the Dolphins, didn't return to the game. But I think Green Bay is getting a lot better, really, on both sides of the ball. Some of their younger defensive players have improved last couple of weeks. Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, and I like Green Bay at home. I like the way they're playing. I think things are trending in the right direction for them.
It's the Michael Kay Show here on 98.7 ESPN. Mike Tannenbaum joining us for his weekly spot on Fridays. Mike, what goes through that conversation now? Derek Carr and what's going on with Vegas. Not only is he not there to have a discussion, he's not going to be around the team so that there's no distractions and, to minimize the situation of players asking the media, asking players about how do you feel about that? He's not here and everything. How do these conversations go that you take a situation where he wasn't playing that badly, I didn't think?
Yeah, the turnovers have really hurt them there. And I think when, Larry has, a 40 million plus guarantees.
Yeah.
They're just going to sit him down, so they don't have to worry about that, moving forward. So, I was a little surprised, but now you look at it and it makes sense. I think they're just going to clear the decks there and start new. And I think fully expect Derek Carr to be starting quarterback in the league, next year. Obviously, it's not going to be with the Raiders.
Final one for me, Mike. It's funny. One of the most fascinating games this weekend, as Larry mentioned, is Panthers Buccaneers. A 6-9 team versus a 7-8 team, and one of these squads is going to win that division. Who do you have coming out of that NFC South?
I like Tampa. They're going to have to play much better run defense. I think they will, but Steve Wilkes has done a great job, and this Panther team is tough. They are playing really, really good football. But I like Devin White. I like Levante David. I think those two linebackers for Tampa Bay will stop the run. And if you make Sam Darnold one-dimensional, I like Tampa, but I give a ton of credit to Steve Wilkes and how Carolina's playing.
Mike, I got two more for you. Going back to the Raiders situation, how should we view Josh McDaniel? Had issues as a head coach with Denver, had limited success there, not a good year here with Vegas. You know that Bill Belichick coaching tree has had some players, some good guys, and some have struggled. How do we look at him and his future after whatever happens with Vegas?
Yeah, it's a very fair point. I think you got to give Josh another year and pick his own quarterback. They really loaded up, you know, on the offense, you know, considering the big trade for Davante Adams, extending Waller. They got Hunter Renfro. They got to make a decision on Josh Jacobs. I thought they would have played better. I think it was obviously a very disappointing season, but I'd be surprised if he didn't get at least one more year.
All right, here's my last one, Mike. Now, I know you do the Mike Tannenbaum bomb on New York game day, so I know how you do that. So I don't want you to give that away. But I need help in my cover five picks this week, Mike. Give me something that would give me some confidence that I can get over the snide here.
All right, I like it. Let's go with Cincinnati over Buffalo in that big Monday night game.
Okay, sounds good. Mike, thanks for joining us. You and your family have a happy new year. We'll talk to you down the line.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. And happy new year to you guys, too.
All right, thanks, Mike. That's Mike Tannenbaum. So, Ty, some interesting thoughts from him, especially especially with Tua and with Lamar Jackson at the top of our questions with him.
Yeah, and I hate to try to fast forward to the off season because it's just going to be so intriguing to see what happens with the quarterbacks because there's still a game to be played. And Mike White's probably listened. I'm pretty sure Mike White is dialed into this show right now thinking, guys, I'm the quarterback of the team right now. Give me a shot to win this job. We might not have to go elsewhere to find someone for under center next year for this Jet team because I'm going to get us to the playoffs and all order will be restored. So he's probably listening to us thinking that this is a premature conversation.
But he loves the challenge, right?
You're unbelievable.
As a quarterback, as a competitor, he loves the challenge. He has already put a second overall pick on the inactive list twice in one season. So his confidence has got to be rolling. Plus, and here's the other thing that's a wild card here, Ty. The locker room loves him.
Yes.
And yeah, we know, and we've said it before, everybody loves the backup quarterback, but most of the reasons why they love the backup quarterback is the work ethic of the backup quarterback because he's fighting to be the starter. He wants to be the starter. He knows he can be the starter. And here's a guy who has shown you that he is familiar with the offense, might be more familiar with the offense than the starter was in Zach Wilson. Obviously, as the analogy I gave you the other day, he's a quarterback. He's a pitcher. He's not a thrower, so he can make adjustments. If I've got an open guy 10 yards away, I know to take a little off. If I got Gary Wilson going deep, I know I got to put a little extra on it so he can run under it and get it in stride. He's able to do that. So the basic fundamentals and his footwork when he's not getting lifted off the ground by a defender, his footwork has been reasonably consistent. So from his standpoint, mentally, he's going out there saying, this is what I do. All I can do is go out there and perform. What they say on the radio is not left up to me. What they say on the smartphone, what they say in the front office, what they say in the coach's room, that's doesn't matter to me. I have to go out and perform the way I know how to perform. And that's with preparation, that's understanding what I'm looking at, making quick decisions, and just doing the fundamentals of what quarterback is. And that's all he has to do.
And he doesn't have to worry about carrying the load of being the number two overall pick that everyone was at some point expecting to become the franchise quarterback. He doesn't have to deal with, you know, the conversations about his growth and his development because the reality is he's either going to win games and help this team go forward, and we're going to praise him for it. Or if they lose, then it'll just be like, all right, you know, he's a contract year for him. He's going to move on. No one's going to be crushing Mike White the way they did with Zach Wilson. So it's in a sense, it's less pressure because of where he was taken in the draft versus where Zach was, even though he's staring at a must-win game. And then if he wins this must-win game, he's got to win another must-win game. And then if he wins that one, then every game the rest of the way is must-win.
But that's what makes it fun.
Fun if you're not a Jet fan, because I don't find this to be fun. I'm not having fun right now.
But as a quarterback, I'm nervous. I hear you. But as a quarterback, that's what makes it fun. That challenge, that adjustment, that going out there knowing, especially him, who has sat for a couple of weeks, and you know he's watching on the sideline saying, I'd have made that pass. I'd have hit that receiver. What are you doing?
Zach Wilson threw the touchdown to, who was it, Conklin, against the Lions, the first image they showed on CBS was Mike White celebrating.
Yeah, of course.
And I always wonder, is that a front?
No, he's a team guy.
No, I get it. I'm not saying specifically for him. I'm saying because we always see this. Like if the starting quarterback gets benched or whatever happens to the guy who everyone wants out there, you know, is on the bench, we get that flash pan to that person celebrating. And I always wonder if it's authentic or you're doing it because you're trying to be that seasoned professional and you don't want to have any negativity associated with a reaction or a non-reaction.
Ty, I think you're torn. I think there's part of you, for the good of the team and the guys that are out there, your friends on the team, you want to win. You're not strapping on the pads and everything every week to go out there and get your head beat in to lose games. So from that standpoint, yeah, I think it's real. But there's also a side of you that said, well, you know what? If I was out there, I could do that and maybe a little bit more. So
what's Zach Wilson rooting for? What's Zach Wilson rooting for these next couple of weeks?
He's rooting for the team to win, because if the team wins, there's a better chance that Mike White comes back, and then he feels he can fight against Mike White, and they may not bring in another quarterback.
Yeah, so he's
so that's what he's rooting for.
I get it. That's a good answer. If they go out and acquire a Lamar Jackson or Derek Carr,
he's not rooting for that.
Or Rodgers, then he's drawing dead to get his starting job back. Whereas Mike White comes back, there's a little bit of a competition. Even if Mike White wins the starting job next year, at least there's a glimmer of hope for Zach Wilson. That makes sense.
Let me give you this thought, and this is Mike LaFleur. We'll hear from him right now. Here's the conversation. So, obviously, you know, franchise quarterback, that's what you do when you draft, take a quarterback number two overall, number one overall, top three. Franchise quarterback. Okay, franchise. So he was asked, with all this work and all this stuff that Zach Wilson's doing, what makes you think he can be a franchise quarterback?
He's a talented football player. He's a talented thrower. Like we've talked about, there's things physically in the lower half that we got to get corrected. And we can start that today. We can start that last week, a month ago. We can start that last April in OTAs. But it's going to be all-encompassing. It's going to be, again, the work he puts in today, but going through that whole offseason, just resetting that lower half, getting those feet in the ground, getting balanced, and seeing where he can improve there.
But, Ty, what were they doing with him before when he was inactive? I thought that's what they were doing. I thought that's what they were trying. They said they were fixing him. So what were they doing all this time?
Maybe he can't be fixed. And they're just trying to dress it up. Because what you can't do is just kill him. Because that lessens whatever trade value he has right now.
He got none.
You can only hope to build him up. And then if you can't find a suitor, you bring him back next preseason and hope he lights the world on fire, and then you can trade him. But, I mean, that just all feels like they're just trying their best to save face, because they know he's not coming back. They know he's got no future here with this team. He's got no future here. We know that ship has sailed.
I understand. I was a little surprised that Mike T said he would bring him back next season to compete for a job.
Yeah, I don't think he can do that.
Number two overall, you got to give him at least 3 years. And he's been injured and missed time, whether injury or performance, in both years.
Because, Larry, what was rock bottom for Zach Wilson? Was it getting benched after the New England game? Was it coming back and then hearing boos at MetLife Stadium this past Thursday before getting benched for a practice squad quarterback? Like, what was rock bottom? The moment in the locker room where he didn't take accountability? So you've got like five different options of what rock bottom was, and now he has to overcome all of that? And it's either tough. Way, the rest of the season, so if the Jets miss the playoffs, then you blame Zach Wilson. Because as I said at the top of the show, you can list me like 25 different quarterbacks this season who could have been under center for the Jets to make the playoffs. Then if they do make the playoffs, it looks like he was holding them back. So I think either outcome, it just looks bad for him on top of like the glaring character issues we saw on display this year. I just don't see a path forward to him coming back.
2 yards. Second half is the low part for me.
Against the Patriots.
That's the low point.
That's terrible.
And B is inactive. Not benched, inactive.
In the biggest game of the season.
Twice in one season.
See, I didn't even have those two on my list. So now the list keeps growing and growing. How are you overcoming all of that?
Those are tough. I got to tell you that. Those are tough.
I think you have a better chance. I'm giving you a bunch of jobs. I said you were going to get the coach job. I think you have a better chance of being the quarterback for the Jets next year than Zach Wilson does. So you're either going to be on the sidelines for the Colts or you're going to be under center for the Jets.
I feel bad for Zach Wilson and Jeff Saturday because I'm doing neither one.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go to Wayne, New Jersey. That's where Rob is hanging out on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Good show. I just wanted to point out that, you know, and I understand you guys are on talk radio, so you have to talk about the same thing and, you know, point out all angles of it. But when you look at how many quarterbacks are taken in a year, there's generally 10 to 20 quarterbacks taken in a draft between drafted quarterbacks and camp arms. And there's only 32 jobs as the first string in the league, and then there's 32 backup and maybe 32 taxi. So every year we're taking in about 10% to 20% new quarterbacks. And when you look at the other years, there's a good thing online, NFL Draft, ranking every quarterback class since 2000. And when you start looking at these classes, you say, like in 2007, how is Jamarcus Russell and Brady Quinn, Kevin Cobb, John Beck, how did those guys do? So the chances that the Jets were going to hit on a franchise quarterback was very slim anyway. And at least we're not Cleveland, who whiffed on Johnny Manziel, Tim Couch, Brady Quinn, and on and on and on. That's all I got. So, I mean, there's somebody out there, but just not a retread. Thanks.
All right, Rob. Thanks for the phone call. I'll just say this because I love you, and I'm not going to do this to you as a Jet fan. But there's been the list of Jet quarterbacks.
I was just going to say that.
Over the years.
I'm glad that we're on the same page. Because he's bringing up one draft.
It's not been that great. Ever. there's been some names that the Jets have had. And listen, I get it. Because here's the challenge, right? The challenge is the better the quarterback you are talent-wise, the worse team talent-wise you go to. Right? Yeah. Because the better you are as a quarterback, the worst team in the previous year, you get to go there. So it takes time. Here's the issue. And the issue becomes where either through coaching or through talent, you're not the guy for that team, okay? But we're looking at a situation with Zach Wilson right now where I don't care what team he's on. He's not prepared to play in the NFL. Mike Tannenbaum said it best a couple of weeks ago, Ty, when he said the game is too fast for him. Even in year two, the game is too fast. At some point in time, normally, even with quarterbacks who struggle, okay, the game slows down a little bit. This game has not slowed down for him at all.
It hasn't. And, look, I mean, he brings up one draft. The Jets could have had Deshaun Watson, could have had Patrick Mahomes, could have had Lamar Jackson, could have had Josh Allen. I mean, the list goes on and on. And look, the Jets weren't the only team that got this wrong. There were other teams
that passed on these
quarterbacks. But the difference is it just feels like the Jets never get it right at quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the one draft. It's not just about, like, what they did that season. I mean, you know, Sam Darnold, that didn't pan out. Zach Wilson didn't pan out. I guess Mark Sanchez maybe was as good as he could have been given the situation, but it just feels like they've been looking for a franchise quarterback forever, and they just haven't found one.
They have not. They have not. I mean,
so that's more of the problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's not just they didn't find one over the past couple of years. They just they just haven't found one consistently. And once again, is it bad picking? Is it not being able to develop them? Is it not understanding what, not being able to identify to match talent with scheme? What is it? What is it? And they're not alone. Okay, so I get your point. They're not alone. But when you're here, I mean, people were killing the Giants for taking Daniel Jones sixth.
Yeah, look at him this
okay?
year.
I mean, if you took Zach Wilson sixth, you'd be okay. Okay, listen, he didn't work out. He was a sixth round pick. What? It happens. We didn't get him. But this is number two overall. You're drafting this guy to be the face of your franchise for the next decade or more.
Well, good thing Adam Gase won those games on his way out, because the Jets could have had Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, you know.
That was Adam Gase's one last parting gift for the organization. Thank you, Peyton Manning. Really appreciate the
old man. Yeah, every time I see him Monday night, I just shake my head.
Two times Peyton Manning messed the Jets up.
Yep. That's right.
Peyton Manning called me. Yay.
Lonnie's in Long Island. Lonnie's calling us on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Lonnie?
How are you doing, gentlemen? Oh, guys, you're going to make me sick. Oh, man. When they won those games, I cried. My daughter said, Dad, it's not worth it. I cried.
When you actually cried? Like there were tears coming down your face?
I actually cried. Wow. I was hurt because I said,
I
there goes
that.
Trevor Lawrence. And I knew it. After then, there was nobody else we were going to get.
But anyway,
we got Zach Wilson. I feel bad for the kid, but he's not NFL material. He's just panicked. You can see he gets nervous. I hope my man White will be back. I'm praying that he's going to play and be well. I'm hoping. And now one thing on the Knicks, our poor Knicks. Look at all the players we could have with the Knicks.
Oh,
I was just thinking about that. We don't have no A's to this day. We have no A's. All these B's, C's, and D's are not going to get it done. And I'm so annoyed that we didn't give them whatever they want to get a Donovan Mitchell. If they want Barrett, give them Barrett. Hey, whatever they want. That was the trade we should have done. And now we would be making the playoffs definite. I mean, now we might make it in a round, but we're going to be right out because we have nobody when it comes down to crunch time. When you see what Embiid and the beard did to us, you see, they got A's. Those guys, that's what they do.
You're right, my friend. Thanks for the phone call. Now, Ty, that's a fan.
That is a fan.
That's a passionate fan.
I respect it, though. Don't you respect that?
Absolutely.
More than a guy who would give up his season tickets to watch a quarterback go play for a rival? City rival?
No.
I respect I respect the passion.
See, Lonnie's invested. He's invested. He's bleeding jet green.
Crying in front of his daughter.
Jet green.
I respect that.
Absolutely. I respect him more than he even admitted it. Because he told everybody.
She said it's going to be okay. And his daughter said it's going to be okay. It's similar to things that like my family members say to me after losses. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. And I'm like, you don't understand. It's not going to be okay.
It's not.
Because I was distraught after, what was it, that second New England game?
You had to be.
Jones punt return touchdown?
Oh, you had to be.
How about this for a stat? How about this? Mm-hmm. So 3 punt returns for a touchdown this year. 2 of them have been given up by the Jets. And that one crushed me. And
we
I had my mother-in-law telling me, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And then my wife says, well, they always lose anyway, so what's the difference? So they clearly don't get it. They don't get it.
So not only are you being knifed, but the knife is being stuck in and twisted.
It's being twisted and then punctured even deeper. They always lose anyway. I mean, come on. Are you really going to say that to me in this moment? That was one of the most heartbreaking losses I've ever experienced. A punt return for a touchdown to end the game. And that's what you're going to say. They always lose. So they just don't get it, you know?
I don't know what to say about that, Tom. I'm kind of broken up myself over the fact that you had to deal with that.
I got to find someone who gives better advice after losses.
And here's the thing. Because it's a loved one, you can't, you know, you just take it.
I walk away in that situation. Okay. Because I say, like, there's really no path to this conversation getting better.
No.
So let me just leave.
No. Somebody else you might have an answer for, but not wifey.
Yeah, not wifey.
Not wifey. You can't do that. And you can't do that with the mom-in-law either.
Mom-in-law, yeah, because then that fractures the family.
That's it. No. See what the Jets have done? Just trying to break up your family.
The Jets are breaking up my family. And I continue to allow this team to ruin my Sunday afternoon. But not this Sunday, Larry.
Not this Sunday, right?
It is not going to happen this Sunday.
Not this Sunday. I hear you.
The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Not this Sunday. Huh?
Let's hear from Geno Smith. Geno Smith was asked, any motivation facing your former team?
Not anything for me. You know, I really just feel like the importance of it is, you know, we need a win so we can get to the playoffs. You know, obviously, there'll be some speculation, some talk about that. You know, I mean, it comes with the territory. It's to be expected. You know, I got a lot of love for the Jets, the organization, and a lot of people that are still there that were there when I got drafted. So for me and this team, it's, you know, business as usual, another week to prepare and a tough challenge for us to go out there and, you know, try and get this win. We need it.
Now, Ty, I'm just going to say this. Every player I have ever spoken with, and God, I've spoken with a lot of players and coaches, they know when they're facing their former team. They circle calendars. They make notes. They do a bunch of different things, okay? And the goal is always the same. You made a mistake letting me go, okay? So I'm not saying he's not being genuine. Because the question is there any extra motivation facing the Jets? Yeah. So there may not be extra motivation facing the Jets, but there's some motivation facing the Jets.
I found this interesting. Remember when Geno in Seattle beat the Giants this week? This year.
Yep.
It was right before the bye week for the Giants. 27-13. After the game, Geno said, this game was for Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese. They believed in me. So that just shows you, like, he still holds on to things that happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And most athletes do that,
right?
Like, they have,
they
need
them.
Yeah, it fuels them, that added level of motivation. Well, why would you need to be extra motivated for a game that can save your season? Well, there are certain things that you just don't forget about. Who is it? Draymond Green actually remembers every player drafted ahead of him in the draft.
Wow.
So, like, they hold on to these things because, like you said, it fuels them. So I'm expecting Geno not to say anything before the game. But I guarantee you, if they win this, he's going to take some shot at the Jets organization.
No question. No question he will. No question. And he'll be in his rights to do so.
He'll take a swing at the organization. Hopefully it'll land the way the IK and Kapali hit him in his jaw and broke his jaw. But I'm pretty sure it's gonna be something that's on his mind after the game if he knocks this team out of the playoffs.
No question about it.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Oh, just because they're not here, we've got pro picks. Oh, yes, we do. The coach will have them for you. Anthony Pusick will have them next hour. We'll find out who Michael picked, who Don picked.
Yay!
And who Peter picked.
And Peter has got a chance to really, clinch this thing, right, Anthony?
We got Bear's pick as well. I texted Bear. I texted Bear this morning.
Bear. That's right.
Yeah, I texted Bear this morning. He gave me his pick. Nice. I'd have to do the math. It might be over.
It
might
over,
be over.
Right? He's been doing pretty well this year.
These last 2 weeks have been rough for the guys, and we'll go over it. But even with that, Peter, even in weeks where they all struggle, Peter still ends up getting the most points out of all of them.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Is this going to be the first non-Michael K championship year?
No, I think Peter won last year.
Oh, I don't remember.
I think Peter won last year. But no, Don's had a rough go of it for the last couple of years.
So I guess Don's fighting for second place.
Don's fighting for second, yeah. Don and Michael are separated by a point and a half. Peter's separated from Don by 14.
Ooh. And what is the penalty for ending up last this year?
Well, Don calls it a spa day. I believe we're going to try and get a dunk tank at the beach bash.
Oh.
And
what's
just
inside the tank?
Well, that's the thing. The guys just want water. Don was thinking
that's a swimming pool.
Mayo
or
sour cream or piranhas. The guys
piranhas?
Think Don won't be happy unless somebody comes out of there without their life. I think that's what Don is rooting for. But at the moment, we just have a plain old dunk tank.
Okay, Don won't be happy until at the end of that experience. It is a two-person show going forward.
Wow.
Because someone died.
Even if it's Don.
I agree with that, though. You can't just have a – it's like a swimming pool. That's not a real
Don would be in agreement with you, but the guys are saying it'll be cold or the water will be bad.
No,
I heard Charlie
on.
K might even take the fall for Michael.
No
come
way.
On.
So
no,
how about
no,
that?
No, that's not going to – No. His mom would not let that happen.
That's a good point.
His mom
it's supposed to be
in.
The other way around. Like if Charlie K loses, Michael takes the L.
Well, that's the thing, and Don pointed out that it's fun for Charlie to try and do this. So this isn't Charlie's not viewing it as a punishment. Charlie, this is great. I'll get in the dunk tank. It'll be 90 degrees at the beach bash this year, as
exactly.
always.
Exactly. That's fun.
Yes. No, knowing Don, there'll be some lobsters.
He backed
some
out.
Crabs
he,
or something in
he
the bottom.
He backed out
there.
Of his set picks, and that really hurt him last week because his set picks, he would have won two of them, and his non-set picks that he decided to do last week, he only got one right.
Oh. Wait, a couple years ago when Chris Canty was still with DPH on Rothenberg, he was
collapsed the century.
A shark tank.
Yeah.
So why can't we do that?
It's a good look. I mean, Peter ate crickets a couple years ago.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, so that if you.
Oh my.
If you have something that grosses you out, I mean, with Michael, all we'll have to do is give him a piece of shrimp or something.
What's worse, eating crickets or eating a Whopper?
Maybe a soup. Never had that.
Or eggs.
Mm. Eggs.
A nice fried egg.
Nice fried egg.
K.
Wow.
I'm amazed at I don't know what Michael ate when he was a child.
Not much.
Yeah.
Not much.
But no, look, that. I mean, the punishments for this segment are well documented for how bad they are.
Yeah,
so
it'll be interesting to see what
Michael dyed his hair 1 year. How great was that?
The punishment should be like you get 3 more weeks of extra vacation.
Wow.
I heard it wasn't a vacation. Never mind.
Speaking of the Michael K show, if you want to relive some of their 20th anniversary show, well, you can catch the Unplugged segments on the ESPN New York app. Just download the free ESPN New York app, scroll down to the Unplugged tile, and enjoy Episode 1 live now. Brought to you by our friends at Jackpocket. Play official state lottery games like Powerball and Mega Millions on your phone. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 877-8-HOPE-NY.
Do you guys think that they would have acted the same way if they knew this was probably going to go out to the public at some point?
No, I don't think so.
Good day to get the Jackpocket app, by the way.
Oh, that's absolutely.
Absolutely.
What's the Mega up to, Ty? You got another mouth to feed. You're probably looking to win the Mega, right?
I'm always looking to win the Mega.
685? 685 million is enough for you?
If I don't do that, I want to be Cristiano Ronaldo, who apparently is making $200 million per season when you factor in like all his commercial deals and everything that he's got with that.
Saudis have the money, I guess.
If I'm him, I want it in cash, no checks.
All up front.
I'm good.
And untaxed.
That's right. Back to the phones we go at 1-800-919-3776. Alan's in Uniondale. What's up, Al?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Yo, Ty, my guy Ty, what's up, man? It's been a minute.
Yo, what up, baby? Talk to me. What's going on? What's the word?
Yo, I'm saying, man, like, yo, the Jets and the Knicks, man. I don't know, man. It reminds me of that Simply Red song. Like, I just keep holding on. Why am I holding on for? Yo, oh, man, they got me so... The Knicks going, you know, they're going like an 8-game winning streak, and then they start losing. And then the Jets, you know, we got the number 2 pick. We had Justin Fields there. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know who Justin Fields was at the moment, but I didn't want Zach Wilson either. Like, I didn't want no guy from BYU. Hell no. And then it's just so much, man. I can't wrap my head around this, man. It's just so upset. Just so upset, bro.
But listen, you got a potential playoff, you know, playoff situation happening. So don't be all, you know, doom and gloom.
And it's crazy. We have a defense that could win playoff games. We just got no quarterback. We have a defense that could win. That's what's crazy. Like, I just want to go. Just, can I get one Super Bowl? Can the Knicks make, like, I mean, the Knicks made the finals in my lifetime. But I just need one chip from one of these teams. Just one of them. Just one. Like, I mean, but yeah, going back to that Simply Red stuff, man, that's all I got to say. That's all I got to say.
All right, Alan, thanks for checking in. Speaking of the defense for the Jets, Ty, you know, Quinnen Williams was named the team MVP, and I mean, rightfully so.
He's been – how about he suffers an injury, comes back, and on the first drive of the game has a strip sack for a fumble.
It's amazing.
On Trevor Lawrence. He has been sensational. And the Jets are going to have to pay him. So that's another thing that, like, we haven't spoken about. Like, we can entertain the idea of all these other quarterbacks. They're going to have to pay some of these guys next year, or we're going to be looking at cuts. I was reading – C.J. Mosley could be a cap casualty. Mm-hmm. Carl Lawson. So who knows what's going to happen next year? But this defense might not look the same, which is why you really want to capitalize when the iron is hot. And them not having a quarterback this year just really stinks.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because there's no guarantee everything falls in line like it did this year, next year. There's no guarantees. Yeah. No guarantees. It should. You hope it does. You hope that your defense grows. You hope you get a quarterback and your offense gets better and better. But, you know. You never know what can happen. You just never know. That's why you got to strike while the iron is hot. You have a chance to get to the postseason. You got to make it right now.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.